Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the South Florida Morning Show with Jennifer Ross and Bill Adams on News Talk 850 WFTL.
So it's a hazardous journey. It's not worth doing. And we have the resources that are going to continue to keep the people of Florida safe.
Well, that was the governor yesterday reiterating his warning to Haitians, saying, look, it's dangerous. We're going to turn you around again. Don't try to come here. And we've fortified our shores. But also, while that's going on, the state has chartered four more rescue flights from Haiti to try to get Americans out of there. I guess there were 14 rescued yesterday. Wasn't the biggest number, but at least there's more people out of there.
Well, it was eight adults, six kids, I think, is what they got out yesterday. And like the governor said, it's because of the situation. I'm trying to get the details because this is a breaking story and Fox News is running it as we speak. I believe these planes are already gone. They've landed in Haiti and they're on their way back is what they're trying to say. From Florida.
Ah, right.
So okay. I think that's what they're getting at, that these rescue flights got in and they got out, and now they're coming back with more people. And thank goodness for our state, because I don't know of any other state doing this. Granted, you know, we're a little bit closer to Haiti than most other states. I understand that. There were 300 Floridians stranded in Haiti, stuck there because of what's going on with this coup with barbecue. So at least we're doing something. I don't know if the Biden administration has sent any planes yet. He made the announcement yesterday they were going to do, you know, humanitarian efforts for those Americans stuck in Haiti. But I haven't seen anything as a follow through yet.
I don't know. This situation, nothing is getting better other than the fact that we're getting more Americans out there. But like you said, and you bring it up every day, I keep thinking about these poor people stuck there. That's just hell on earth. There's no other way to describe that place.
You know, if you've never been to Hispaniola, the island that Haiti sits on, Haiti's on one side and the Dominican Republic's on the other. And I used to go to the Dominican all the time. I love it there.
But what are you, scouting shortstops?
And, that's what I used to see, all those baseball fields, by the way.
Oh.
And I'd be like, why do they have all these big baseball complexes
here? Big investment money from baseball teams.
Oh, these are like professional you know, fields. It's pretty impressive.
There are teams building schools in certain, you know, towns.
Really?
Training complexes.
Oh,
housing
okay.
developments.
I can remember the first one I saw was this massive stadium like in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, I know.
And I asked the driver, I was like, what is that? And he goes, oh, baseball stadium.
Yeah.
All the kids play there.
Yeah.
All recruits. I went, oh, okay. I didn't know. But anyway. But if you stood on the border between Haiti and the Dominican, it is a stark difference. Haiti has no trees. They've used all the resources on the island they could possibly can. It's an impoverished area. There's no doubt about it. And now you got criminals. I don't know. What was barbecue in for life? The guy that's running the country now?
I don't know how he got out. The one thing I know about that guy, and his name really is Barbecue, the gang leader running that nation right now, he's released all of his gang buddies out of the jails.
And there were like 4,000 people released from these prisons. And these aren't nice people. These are, I mean, the guy got his name, if you think of his name, Barbecue, he got his name for a reason. And it's true to the name. Not nice people. So if you're just a family that lives in Haiti and you're stuck in this, what are you supposed to do? It's horrible.
Yeah,
you know, what we haven't heard yet is how many people now are probably on the verge of starving to death. They have no resources.
Yeah,
they've been blocked from everything. And this government, that being the Biden administration, is telling Americans, you know, get to the American embassy. If you can't get to the American embassy in Port-au-Prince, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah, exactly. So, it's that tough thing. It's like you feel for them, but you also can't have an influx here.
No, and what the governor and what the State Department here is doing is, and it started with that Corey Mills, that representative from Orlando. He went out the first. He flew his own helicopter over there, or he chartered a helicopter, saved Mitch Albom and Mitch Albom's wife and a bunch of kids from an orphanage, and then went back a second time and saved more people. So he kind of kicked everything off. But now the governor's involved. But have you heard of any other state doing this? Like, is Georgia doing anything? I'm just trying to think of states that are close to us.
Have not.
So
no.
So we'll see. But they're talking about these four chartered flights. So hopefully they'll land in Florida or they'll get out of Haiti with people on them.
Well, you hope so anyway. All right. Also close to home. This was, by design, we don't bring up, we didn't even do it with Chelsea Clinton. We didn't bring up her name at all. It's like, I don't think that,
Oh, this is horrible.
So Barron Trump turned 18. Happy birthday, Barron.
He's 18 already.
18, and he's according to, by the way, Mike, this was interesting. This is way off track, I stand, but it's kind of sort of related. Mike Tyson just did a recent podcast interview, and he just had dinner at Trump's at Mar-a-Lago.
He did?
He was talking about Barron, confirmed he's 6'8".
Jeez.
Smart as hell. He's great.
Amazing. Good for him.
This happened yesterday that is the most disgusting. They should tell you everything you need to know about the news media, even though this guy is not an NBC News executive anymore. This guy, Mike Singleton, has deleted this post on Twitter, on X. But he said yesterday, Barron's 18 now. Now he's fair game.
Huh?
About to attack him.
Oh, so what are you going to attack? He's a kid. Still a kid. No one bothered Obama's children.
They, you know what?
They were 18.
They really didn't.
No, and shouldn't.
And still don't. And you shouldn't.
I don't care whose kid it is.
But that doesn't stop this lowlife from even putting that out, even though
jerk.
The post is now deleted. But this Mike Singleton guy, whoever he was, is, whatever, has just... people just want to cancel him now for even saying it.
And rightfully so. And you think about it. We live literally miles away from where Barron lives. We know what school he went to. I'm assuming he's still in the same school. But you hear nothing about this kid.
No.
And rightfully
as you
shouldn't. So.
Right.
I even asked, I said, do we even know what college is he planning on going to? Because I would assume he's a senior, right?
Don't know. And I hope he has a nice private life and is allowed to be a kid.
That's terrible, but he's 6'8". Remember when we had Eric on, he says, I'm 6'6", and he's going to be taller than me.
Right.
He was like, he's going to tower over me. 6'8", geez.
So I was glad to see the backlash from both sides.
Good.
Because there are plenty of Democrats, too, disgusted by this cretin's, even putting that out there on social media before it was deleted.
No one ran a story about Barron after that, did they?
No, I don't think so.
No one went after the kid.
I don't think so. But it tells you what kind of hatred exists in this fake, disgusting propaganda news media we have now, doesn't it?
Well, and I could see people like AOC talking about him who was that other one you just played? She was probably the stupidest woman I've ever listened to in
Congresswoman
my life.
Chantel Brown.
Oh, yeah, from Cleveland, from Moreno's part of town. Okay, whatever you say. And they're supposed to be the accepting, loving party.
Sure.
What she said was disgusting. So hopefully they leave Barron alone and he lives a nice life. But he's smart, tall, looks just like his father.
Yeah, he sure does.
Yeah, he's a Donald Jr. clone.
So
no doubt about it.
Leave him alone, media rats.
Jerks.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to our sports department.
You don't have to go far. You have the game on in the studio.
Well, we found it.
We're watching. By the way, why are they wearing UPS uniforms?
Who?
That team right there.
Those are the Padres.
They got brown. It looks like a UPS uniform.
Love those. The brown and yellow.
Okay, it looks like brown and tan to me, but that's okay. So we have a baseball game on in the studio.
Major League Baseball season update, game two. While spring training is still going on. We don't understand that either. But in Seoul, South Korea, Padres 5-2 of the Dodgers.
The Dodgers scored, right? Because
they did.
It was 5-1 last time we checked.
But the Padres have the bases loaded again.
Oh.
With one out. Evening things up. That's right. Listen to that band.
Is that the Gasparilla Garage, whatever, Burritos? What is it, the band we have that plays every season?
Portions of this program have been recorded. All right, so we'll teach as we go. There is actually a big baseball story, and it involves one of these teams that's playing right now, actually.
Is he playing?
Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, that's his name.
Highest profile player in baseball. Some controversy for gambling.
Yeah, a lot of money, too.
And a translator. We got that to talk about. We got some other headlines, too, and what else happened on Capitol Hill yesterday. All of it coming up next, the South Florida Morning Show. Keep it here.
Mr. Bobulinski, who's the big guy?
Joe Biden.
You sure? I'm 1,000% sure. Because when Hunter Biden did his deposition under oath, he said, I don't know who it is, even though he was copied on an email that said H will hold 10% for the big guy. You sure it's the big guy is Joe Biden?
1,000%. And there's other text messages that back that up, that the brave whistleblowers Shapley and Ziegler have produced, not from my phones, not from my BlackBerry that I took screenshots from. They took them from subpoenas directly from Apple's iCloud that back up the fact that Hunter knew the big guy was Joe Biden.
The big guy is the brand. The big guy is the lift.
Okay. They know it at this point, right?
Yeah.
But what are you going to do about it? Honest to God. Because if this is all this, then what was it all for? A show?
I guess. I don't know. It's Bob Alinsky was worth like a wealth of information.
And did you notice how like spicy he is now? He's like not putting up with anything anymore.
Well,
he was like nice and contrite before, and now he's like, no, I'm not. Well, you're like, liars.
I bet you any money it's because Hunter bailed.
Yeah.
You know what? And he's ticked off because, you know, he's there because of Hunter Biden.
That's true.
You know, they were partners. I'm the one getting the screws put to me because of you, and you don't even show up to testify. You're going to throw me under the bus? Well, guess what? I am going to destroy you. And I'm sure that's what the catalyst is.
And he took a shot right off the bat, too, because Hunter didn't show up again, obviously. And there's a blank chair and his placard with his name on it, but Bob Alinsky pointed right to it.
Should I allow Hunter to give his opening statement first?
We'll, doesn't appear Mr. Biden showed up for his public hearing, so we'll recognize you, Mr. Bob Alinsky.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Pretty good. There was a couple of members behind him just laughing when that happened.
You know what? Good for him. At least he had a sense of humor.
Yeah.
But at the same token, even a fraction of what he says is true, Joe Biden should be in prison.
Oh, yeah.
There's no...
If
you changed Joe Biden's name to Donald Trump and this was going on, they would have hauled him off a year ago.
It's everything they're accusing Trump of being. It was them. It is them the whole time.
Yeah.
Remember they were going after the Trump kids, the entire family?
Oh, yeah, because they're all crooked.
It's a crime syndicate. No, that would be the Bidens.
Well, maybe it's why they're not so, prevalent this year on the campaign trail. Because remember, Don Jr. and Eric were everywhere.
Sure.
You know, now Lara, she's involved, the daughter-in-law, but she's involved with the RNC.
Yep.
But, and maybe we'll see more of her than we will anybody else. But I bet you any money, that's what it was. He probably said, you know what? I'm the president. I'll take the heat. This is my game, not yours. You guys are getting attacked for no reason. Why don't you just lay back and, you know, don't worry about Dad. I'll take care of myself.
Unbelievable.
But that's terrible.
Yep. Yes, it is.
You know, leave him alone.
Well, we got another baseball story to talk. Oh, by the way, 9-2 Padres over the Dodgers in the Seoul Series game. Game 2 of the Major League Baseball season, even though spring training's still happening.
Isn't now? How much did you say the Dodgers paid for that guy? What's his name? Showtime? Oh, I don't know what his name is.
Go on. Sounds like you're ordering off a menu when you say it.
Ohtani?
Shohei Ohtani.
Okay, Ohtani. Him. Okay, he's playing for the team that's getting crushed right now, right?
Right now he is.
Okay.
But it was worse news for him yesterday, after yesterday's game we were talking about, because lawyers for the Dodgers star are accusing his interpreter of stealing Ohtani's funds to take part in gambling.
Well, doesn't Ohtani pay him?
Who
pays him, or the team?
I'm sure it's worked into a contract, but technically he does, I guess.
Okay, so if you're paying somebody, $1 million, how much money did this interpreter get?
Right.
And how did he steal $1 million from you?
I don't know, but the LA Times had the story yesterday. They said the interpreter took part in a massive theft of funds to place bets with an alleged illegal bookmaker.
Uh-oh.
And that bookmaker is the target of a federal investigation. The amount taken is in the millions, allegedly.
Oh, geez. Now, was he betting against?
I don't know.
Ohtani's team?
I don't know. But that's
or
bad.
On
that's
his team or
that's
whatever?
That's as close as you can get to a player actually betting. Dodgers, goes without saying, fired the interpreter. Ohtani's with the team right now as they're opening up the season we've been talking about. $700 million contract this offseason. $700 million.
And didn't he do something so he didn't have to pay taxes and they got all bent out of shape about it in California?
Yeah, it was brilliant.
They deferred it. Yeah, they deferred it to later on when he's retired or something.
Brilliant.
I forgot what it was. I was like, that's just to watch Gavin Newsom's veins popped out.
Oh,
I was like, oh, that's good.
Oh, yeah.
We're not getting any money to California for that.
So I don't know. I mean, the first thing I thought of was you've had this script written in your head for years for a movie. What happens if, not in sports, but happens if it was a major like world impact interpreter that could start a war if you actually interpreted the wrong thing and sent the wrong message across. We right. always think that when we see those UN things.
Well, you look at the UN and you watch all these people that are speaking in a foreign language.
That's
and,
right.
of course, they all have headphones on and they have their interpreters. And my whole gist for the book was, what if you get all the interpreters together and they decided that they wanted to rule the world, but they needed to have a world war first. So they changed everything in translation.
It'd be a great movie.
You know, I don't know. I haven't worked out all the final kinks of it. So in James Patterson, if you write the book, give me some credit, please. Because he listens, you know. He lives right across the pond, too.
Interpreter chimes in. Supreme Leader says missiles will be launched in 5 minutes. What? All right, we didn't get to this story. We got distracted by the baseball score. I've always wondered how often this happens. Because I've done it with my kids when they were teenagers. It's like, yeah, we're celebrating something. Getting me a virgin pina colada.
Or you get some kind of mocktail for them. Yeah. Well, mine was always a strawberry daiquiri.
Yeah.
Without the booze.
Well, a 12-year-old kid in Michigan was accidentally served alcohol and drank it at an Outback Steakhouse.
He happy at 12?
I don't know. I wonder.
I'm thinking.
I wonder. And now he gambles. He's with women. I don't know.
he's Otani's new translator.
Smokes cigars. Restaurant accidentally put real alcohol in his virgin daiquiri. Here's the boy and his boy chiming in.
It didn't taste like how when I had it the other times.
Yeah.
And it just didn't taste normal. My head started hurting when I was leaving, and my heart started beating as I was drinking it.
It's supposed to be a virgin daiquiri, but it says a daiquiri. The diagnosis was accidental exposure to alcohol and accidental ingestion.
That's called a hangover. Oh. My head started hurting.
That's called a lawsuit.
Oh, that's exactly what they're going to do. You know they're going to sue
them. That's what that is, you know. You gave my kid alcohol. I love you don't think the kid even said it tasted different. Why wouldn't he have said something?
Nobody asked him if it tasted good.
You know, it's one of those things that's always when you're with somebody and they say, God, this tastes like crap. Here, taste it.
Or
smell it, right? So wouldn't he have said, you know, hey, Grandma, this doesn't taste right. You know, can you taste it?
I swear to God, I thought the kid was going to say, after my fifth one, So I don't. It doesn't say this in the story. It doesn't tell us. I assume to, confirm this, they had to do a blood test, and so they'd get the blood alcohol level in them. Right?
I would assume because she said it was diagnosed as alcohol. So they must have gone to the hospital. She probably freaked out.
Wow.
And then you find out your kid just ingested alcohol. It's like, unfortunately, I don't think they put that much booze in those drinks.
So, I don't think they do either.
That's probably what saved him.
Right. So. I don't know. Lawsuit's coming, I think.
Oh, it's already written. He's got life supply to go to Outback for the rest of his life and then some.
Yep.
Jeez. Did they just score again?
Who?
Who? Oh no, the Padres scored. They're catching up.
Dodgers 9-4 San Diego over the Dodgers. It is just the bottom of the third in Seoul, South Korea.
That's a lot of points on the board in the game.
We're just going to go live to the game during rapid fire next. Just kidding. All right, that and more coming up next. The South Florida Morning Show. Keep it here.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Fire on News Talk 850 WFTL.
Let's see what's going on. Stuff you can talk about later on at work, at lunch, at home, at dinner, whatever. Jen's got the first one.
Write the date down. Well, write the week down. First week in May. And you're thinking, what's going on?
I'm writing it down.
It's not my birthday, not Bill's birthday, not Diener's birthday. SpaceX. Second in command says Starship could fly from South Texas, Boca Chica. By early May.
Yes, another one.
This is really? You talk about a turnaround. I mean, we're already almost into April. We just had this conversation that Sunday's Palm Sunday, Easter's next Sunday. It's like, what happened to the year, okay?
And that test last week was a massive
success.
That
huge.
Was
amazing yeah. last week.
So maybe this time it'll actually come back from reentry because it blew up on reentry.
Right.
So maybe it'll survive that and then actually land in the Pacific somewhere near Hawaii.
But that'll just be a couple of month turnaround, though.
Yeah.
Of course, the first time they did it, they melted the launch pad.
Well, yeah, you need some
extra
time.
Then they blew up a couple of vans, you know. Yeah.
Listen, it happens.
Move the vehicles.
Yeah. Now they move the town.
Well, according to Gwynne Shotwell, who's the president and chief operating officer of SpaceX, it's nice to see a woman at the helm. She was at this Satellite 2024 conference in Washington, and she said the next launch could hopefully be in just about 6 weeks, which would put it at the beginning of May. It's the world's most powerful rocket. It'll eventually go to the moon and then to Mars.
That one last week was incredibly cool to watch.
It really was.
And they have so many cameras on the part that breaks away.
Right.
So can you imagine if they had that kind of HD camera technology on like the Apollo missions?
And it's so funny you say that, too, because it's so evident to me how many stupid people there are out there when you read comments on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
This was so incredibly dumb that I have to mention it because it was so stupid that it has stuck with me since last week. Because we were getting ready. Last week we went on vacation. It was Kristen's 40th birthday. So as we're getting ready, we're watching this launch go off. And I'm looking on Twitter. I'm watching everything. I'm reading some of the comments. And one person goes, oh, yeah. You're telling me that they were just able to get out of Earth now, but we landed on the moon, you know, back in 1969? Sure. And I'm thinking, you incredible moron. They've created a new technology for the most powerful and massive spaceship ever created. You just, oh my gosh, it hurt my head how stupid it was.
So they think because we haven't done it since.
Yes. That it never happened.
That it never happened.
They had to create new math. This is completely new.
So this is somebody out of Hangar 18 Twitter.
Yes.
Okay.
It hurts. I mean, it made my head explode. It still is. You can hear it.
And the flag's white. You know, it's not red, white, and blue anymore.
I can't.
Oh yeah.
I can't.
Well, I have an update for you.
You too. On
the Planet Fitness story.
Oh.
Remember we were talking about this.
Oh, the guy in the ladies' locker room and the woman got thrown off of the club because she took the picture, that one.
That's the one. It turns out we learned this yesterday that the location we're talking about here is Planet Fitness in Fairbanks, Alaska, of all places. So here's the lady that actually got this going. She took a video. She was the one, she describes the entire thing. Here's part one.
Good morning at 8 degrees below zero in Fairbanks, Alaska. Day two of Planet Fitness saga. I came in Monday, there's a man in the women's locker room shaving. A little girl sitting in the corner.
So this went viral, as the kids say.
Wow.
Everybody was talking about it. As of this morning, Planet Fitness has seen a $400 million value wiped off its value in just 5 days after banning that member.
Outstanding.
That exposed what's going on because they have not only canceled her, they're doubling down on their policy and accepting this and letting it happen. In fact, here's her explaining it.
And he justified by saying, I'm queer LGB, and I said, you shouldn't be in the women's locker room. Well, I left. And as I said this morning, I got canceled. Planet Fitness is defending the man in the women's locker room rather than the child sitting in the corner with a towel wrapped around her.
And that hasn't changed.
Wow.
I mean, some of these backlashes are real. People feel these days that they can't really, their vote really doesn't matter. They can't make a difference. You can with your money.
It would be interesting to see if somebody from a local Planet Fitness, if they've even broached the subject. Because I bet you somebody's brought it up. You know,
absolutely.
If you're a member of Planet Fitness, you're going to say, hey, we're going to find those. If you're a woman and you're me and you're on the treadmill and you're talking to the person on the treadmill next to you, they're going to think, are we going to find a guy in the locker room? You can't tell me that conversation isn't taking place.
Sure. It's a concern.
So,
I feel sorry for kids working there who have to answer the question about it.
Sure.
Because they're like, hey, I just work here. It's company policy.
Yeah,
but still,
you know what? This is open door policy for any guy to say, "Yeah, I'm, you know, I relate as a woman. I'm going to transition, but hasn't happened yet. But I'm going to go in your locker room,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
Jeez,
this is where the real world and stuff like that happens, where it meets these policies that these companies come out with. The wokeness that sounds good and looks good and it gives you the moral high ground. Well,
please
apply that to real life and you get a situation like this. And real life is smacking you right back in the face.
That's it.
I swear we live in like some type of bizarre world. I don't know what happened.
But you know what, though? the only word I can think of is exposed, unfortunately. But all of this is being exposed.
Yeah.
And people are being aware of it right now. Stuff that's been happening in corporations. And the pushback is real.
No, you can tell that the general public is just sick of this madness.
Had enough.
Yeah.
Just done. Yeah. Done
with
it.
You go in the ladies' locker room and there's a guy there?
Just done. Stop already.
Over that.
Well, guys, it was a historic day yesterday, actually.
It was?
It was.
Your birthday?
No. Yes. Oh. It was actually the first time that we saw a Neuralink patient.
Massive.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Neuralink.
Huge.
So it was a couple months ago we found out that the first human received the Neuralink chip, one of Elon Musk's companies. We were just talking about SpaceX before. And we were wondering then, you know, who is this person? What condition are they in? You know, what's their background? Well, we finally learned yesterday that it's a middle-aged man who is completely paralyzed. He was paralyzed in a freak diving accident. And he decided to be the first person to receive this implant. And he's learned it. His body has adapted to it. And they did a video yesterday for the first time showing a human using telepathy because of their Neuralink chip in their brain. This guy is sitting in his wheelchair, not moving, and they show the computer, and you see the cursor from the mouse moving around, and he's playing chess. And the chess pieces are moving on the board on the computer screen.
I can't play chess now, and I have full use of my arms.
It's amazing, yes.
This guy's incredible.
I mean, this
really?
He's using telepathy with this
such
thing.
An incredible, incredible development for humankind.
It's unreal.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
And eventually, what Elon Musk says is they could build a skeletal system,
right?
That would be attached to this Neuralink,
yes,
brain chip, and paraplegics, quadriplegics would be able to walk again.
This is just
beginning. It's incredible.
Yeah,
and he's playing chess.
He's playing chess, and they show the computer screen; it's moving around on its own.
And I bet you it's up on our page.
Yeah, it sure is.
So awesome. That.
Yes.
Somebody put it out to me today, the other day, too, as well. He said, do you notice how many big stories happen that are good for humanity that Elon Musk is involved with? And
yes,
I said,
sir.
I know. Thank God he's on the good side.
Right.
I mean, if he turned out to be, and we weren't sure for a while.
Right. Yeah,
maybe if he turned out to be a super villain, that would have been so bad.
Dr. Evil?
Yeah.
What if he was like, you know, went to the Chinese?
Right.
Or the Russians?
It was funny, though, with this guy. He's like, when I first tried it out, I felt like it was using the force because it was just like looking at the screen and things started moving.
That's wild.
It's incredible.
Okay, so yesterday was a milestone with Neuralink. It was also International Happiness Day.
I missed that one.
I know. Well, the United Nations started in 2013 this whole thing where they rank countries as to overall happiness. And they base it on, you know, every age group. Why are you happy? Why are you not happy? Can you afford to live? Can you afford a house? Do you have an education? Blah, 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 blah. Number one on the list... Finland. Apparently, it's the seventh year in a row that Finland has topped the list.
The Finns.
Finns. Even though their average rate on tax is 23.5% for everybody, by the way, comes in second. Denmark. They're all like Nordic towns. Iceland was third. Sweden was fourth. Now, here's the gotcha. Israel comes in fifth. And I was like, wow. Even though, you know, you got that whole war thing going on right now.
Yeah, I know.
The Netherlands, Norway, Luxembourg, Switzerland, and Australia. So you say, well, where's America? The United States comes in 23rd. And it's because the unhappiest group, those under 30. Why? They can't afford to live. They can't afford a house. And they're lonely.
That's right.
I could see that.
It's exactly right.
So.
And they're bogged down by woke policies.
Yeah, sure are. Yeah.
And they say that's the whole reason we fell like 7 spots.
Wow. Well, this is going to make us happy. We're older than that, and a lot of us were inspired, grew up, deal with now the 80s, the 1980s.
Yes.
This is our era. Couple of 80s-themed concert tours coming up this summer.
Hey, now.
One of them is called Abducted by the 80s.
Woo! Nice. The aliens are going to come down and take us away.
I like it.
Here's the online ad.
And then I saw this bright light. I saw it. It came out of the sky.
Abducted by the 80s. Starring Wayne Shaw.
Nice.
Sunny Band.
Yeah.
Men
yep.
Without hats. We can
dance. Whoa. Sunny Band. Sunny Band.
and Naked Eyes.
Oh, there they are. Are we sponsoring this tour?
There is going to be so much hairspray and spandex at this thing.
Outstanding. I only got the tour dates up until June, and it ends at the Broward Center in Fort Lauderdale.
How about that?
I didn't see anything after that. They may extend it after that, but that's pretty cool.
You still hear in commercials, on the air, off the air, online, in videos, in movies, so much 80s music.
That's why my kids know all that. Your mine kids too, right?
It's amazing.
And then my kids will start singing a song. And I'll look at them and they're like, I listen to Sonny all the time, Mom.
It's amazing.
I'm like, oh, okay.
It's true. It's great stuff. It's timeless. Make America happy again. That's what I say.
That's right.
Maha.
Maha.
Yes, it starts with that tour. Well, I'll finish up real quick, guys. I'll just say this. Today's the day, the big dance, the tournament, March Madness.
Oh, God.
It all begins.
Oh.
We've had our play-in games. The first four is over. So the official field of 64 kicks off today, or tips off, I should say, 12:15, game number one, Michigan State, one of these crucial nine-seed games. Michigan State's the nine-seed going up against Mississippi State at 12:15
to get
the whole thing going today.
Out of the other games, the play-ins, who won? You had Boise and Colorado. So Colorado won.
And Grambling won in overtime last night. That was
a good
game.
Who the hell's Grambling?
Yeah, Grambling
really?
State. Yeah.
Who are they?
What do you mean, who are they? It's a famous school.
It's an historically black college.
Yeah.
Grambling
State,
sorry.
Sure.
No, it was like Gonzaga. Never heard of them either until this thing. So,
okay. Outstanding. All right, we'll follow that as it goes. And coming up next, more on the Haiti rescue to get Americans out of there. But this, can you imagine coming home to find a roofer, a roofing company taking off your roof because of the wrong address?
Jeez.
Believe it or not, it's actually a feel-good story.
Really?
I know. It's a lot to get through. It's coming up next. The South Florida Morning Show. Keep it here.
The most likely scenario is you will be stopped and you will be returned to your country of origin.
Well, that was Governor DeSantis reiterating the policy for Florida as it relates to the Haitian crisis and the migrants coming from there. And he's warning them again, don't try, you're going to get turned around. But while that's going on, more rescue missions have been commissioned by the state. Charter flights have been ordered for today. Yesterday, they got 14 Americans out.
Yeah, it was 8 adults and 6 kids, and the governor says they're going to keep on doing it. Thanks to Corey Mills, who started all of this, the representative from the Orlando area, because he went in twice on his own with his helicopter or a chartered helicopter and saved people. I guess it's just an extremely dangerous situation. It's number one, where do you land?
Yeah.
These are planes. Obviously, helicopters much easier to land in different areas, but these are planes, so they got to go to the airport. They're probably going to the Dominican airport, I would assume. And I don't know how many. I think there's two airports there, maybe just one. But then they got to get the people, the Floridians, because that's who they're saving, from wherever point they are in Haiti to that airport safely. You got to get them out of Haiti. That might be the challenge.
That is a risky, risky thing. We said it yesterday, and I hope not. But, I mean, it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility that, you know, they're getting shot at, too, when they're trying to land.
It could very well be.
Jeez. Let's just hope for the best anyway. And I'm sure there's going to be an update. And let's hope they get a lot of Americans, all remaining Americans out of there.
It'd be nice.
As many as they can.
It'd be nice to see the federal government doing something.
Yeah.
Because I haven't heard yet, so.
All right. And believe it or not, this actually is a feel-good story. There's a good turnaround. Doesn't start too good.
Okay.
Can you imagine coming home to having your roof torn off?
No.
By a contractor, all because they got the wrong address.
How do you do this?
This happened to an Oklahoma family. Now, the feel-good part is, at the end of it, they got a free roof.
Oh, well, thank God.
A little bit of stress in the meantime. Here's Deborah and Scott Center. They're the homeowners. And then Doug Gray is the owner of Grayco Roofing and Construction.
Oh my gosh, we didn't order a roof. I think it was about 80% off when they realized the mistake. And that's when we get the phone call.
Oh wow, how can we make this mistake? But here's what we can do to fix it. They were very gracious, very sweet. They understood, a little shocked, obviously.
It was really pretty funny. Crazy. I mean, we were a total advocate for him.
I mean, so they got it done because they had the old one taken off already, you know, and getting to it. So they did the right thing. The nightmare could have happened if you know, the roofer all of a sudden just lawyered up and said, well, we'll figure out what's going on. And they left them, you know, in a tough situation. But apparently they didn't. So that's the feel-good part.
We did a recent story, and I would say within the past 6 months, where the county had a house torn down, and they sent the demolition crew to the wrong house. And they literally destroyed a home.
There's no coming back. A roof's one thing.
And then the company that tore it down's like, yeah, not our problem. You know, the county sent us here. And they were like, you tore down our house. So, I mean, what are the repercussions of that? And do you have any legal ground to stand on when the county is knocking down your house?
And that's what I'd be worried about. Yeah. It would be held up by some stupid insurance company or lawyers.
Right. And you know, these poor people, thank God the roofing company did the right thing.
So he did the bad thing, and they did the right thing.
And they're probably happy they got a new roof now.
Well, yeah, you know what? You know,
it works out.
Just had to
come to
my
house and take off the roof and going to give me a new one. Come
on
over.
For them, I know. Man, I don't know. All right, coming up next, you know, we hear most of the trouble for spring break coming from college kids, right? And they do cause trouble. It's true.
So true.
Well, the story out of Daytona is a little bit different. These are adults, well, even though they're a young couple. Passed out completely blotto on the beach, and their kids were running wild.
And they were now little kids.
Little kids.
Yeah. You know what? I don't know. I think these two have issues.
I think you're exactly right.
I don't think this. You don't get that drunk just on a, you know, a whim.
I'll tell you about that and more headlines. Coming up next, the South Florida Morning Show. Keep it here.
It's the South Florida Morning Show with Jennifer Ross and Bill Adams on News Talk 850 WFTL.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I find it incredibly rich Mr. Swalwell is going to come to this committee and lecture us about how China penetrates our government. I think that's something he may know a thing or two about, but let's talk about how China has penetrated the highest levels of this government.
How about all the zingers yesterday?
Yeah, he was on fire.
That was Michael Waltz, Florida congressman. Talking about because he came in right after Eric Swalwell. Remember, he was with Feng Feng the spy.
Oh, that's
from China?
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that story went away really quickly,
so
didn't
it? That's why he was giving him a hard time about Chinese access.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what elected official was in the back going,
who's laughing in the background.
I don't know who that was. But this thing in Capitol Hill yesterday, and there were some takeaways from this that were quite incredible. This was all. Once again, bringing up Tony Bobulinski, who has all the receipts, bringing up all the whole connection they had with the Biden crime family. But if nothing comes from this, it was all just lip service. Again.
And he tried to detail to AOC the crimes that he witnessed Joe Biden, then Vice President Joe Biden, commit.
Yeah.
And she just wasn't going to have it. And I was like, she just sounded like an idiot against him.
She had
Rico
no,
isn't a charge, really.
She has no idea what she's talking about.
Tell and that
she
was, to half of this.
She was completely
families.
Lost. He was answering her questions. She knew she was lost, so she just interrupted him. She's literally waving her arms. What a scene.
Is it your testimony today that you personally witnessed President Joe Biden commit a crime?
I believe the fact that he was sitting with me while I was putting together a business deal.
Did you witness the president commit a crime? Is it your testimony today?
Yes.
And what?
He's telling you.
He's trying to tell you what the crime is, but you won't let him answer the question.
Then she gets to the RICO part. And
do you, have you witnessed?
How much time do I have to go through it?
It is simple. You name the crime. Did you watch him steal something?
Corruption statutes, RICO, and conspiracy.
What is it? What is the crime, sir?
He's telling you.
Specifically.
You ask me to answer the question. I answered the question.
She's waving her arms. She's going crazy. At the end, well, anyway, it goes on for another 30 seconds. She goes, I surrendered my time. And then she was just done with it. Cut him off.
Because she knew she was wrong.
She's a total dope.
How many times?
She just is.
Well, how many times did Giuliani get somebody on a RICO charge?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's true.
I mean, you think about it, against any crime family member, it was always a RICO charge. It was either taxes or a RICO charge that got him.
This is what they're trying to get Trump on now.
It's like, come on. You know, it's nuts. She's not very bright. I'm sorry.
Well, here's another winner.
Oh, no.
Ready to meet Representative Chantel Brown from Ohio?
Don't know who she is.
So all of this is about Biden crime family. They have the records, the connection. Jim Jordan is saying, here's the receipts. We've proven it's 10% to the big guy. They were selling access to Joe Biden to reach the government.
Right.
Nope. It was about Trump, according to this lady.
Oh, really?
This is a member of Congress.
It is the bondless, broke bluffer, twice impeached, four times indicted, insurrection initiator, election denying, self-declared dictator on day one, and puppet for Putin. The one who wants to terminate the Constitution.
No, obviously.
Oh, my God. That's and this one... is the accepting party, Bill. Don't forget.
Does she believe that? Or is she just really, she's the one that they put up to just saying that?
She believes it. That okay, she believes it based purely on where she's from. She's Cuyahoga County. She's Cleveland. That's where Marino, the guy we had yesterday. The Trump-backed guy that's in the runoff for the Senate now, or was, and now will take on Sherrod Brown, who's been there forever.
Can you imagine if he's one of the two senators and he has to deal with her?
No.
On the congressional side?
Oh, my God.
Good work, Cleveland, putting her in Congress. Nice work. Jeez.
It's kind of scary.
What a brainiac.
Well, you know, and it's not even that. It's you're supposed to be, as a congressperson, any Senate or representative, whatever the case may be, non-biased. This woman opens up by just trashing Donald Trump. Come on. You're not supposed to say stuff like that as a congressperson. I don't care who you are.
What does that have to do with anything with this?
Nothing. You know what? And then she asked a question?
Apparently. I couldn't get past
that. Who knows?
That.
It's like, please. I give up.
Twice impeached.
Oh, yes. Four times
indicted. Yeah, twice cleared.
Yeah. Oh, anyway. And by the way, speaking of impeachments and other things, in one of his cases, the one with the Fannie Willis situation, remember the judge on Friday came back and said either Fannie Willis or Nathan Wade had to leave?
Yep.
And, of course, we knew the boyfriend was going to get booted off of that. Now that same judge has just told Donald Trump and the eight other defendants in that case, sure, you can take that to appeal to get Fannie Willis thrown off of the case. I think she should be disbarred after all of this. But
I think it's heading that way.
And
the judge probably knew that it would go to an appeal process. So
apparently she is under investigation by a multitude of agencies in the state of Georgia.
Another winner.
Yeah. So she won't be around long.
Real quick, just to let you know about the Haitian situation, the U.S. Has chartered four more flights to get Americans out of there. We'll see how that goes today. Hopefully, they got 14 individuals out yesterday.
Yeah, is it the governor did this, or is it our State Department? Who is it? Or is it that the Corey Mills thing?
I think it's from our state government.
Okay.
I still don't think this is the State Department.
Well, at least, State Department as in the federal government, because they're doing nothing.
Right.
Like they do with every other situation.
Yep.
They just leave Americans behind.
Yep.
They did it in Afghanistan. They did it in Israel. And now they're doing it in Haiti.
Speaking of left behind.
Uh-oh.
Well, here's a spring break story I bet you didn't expect. So a lot of the trouble you hear about in Florida beaches is all about college kids.
Yeah, not necessarily.
Now, these were young people. They're young parents, but... they weren't exactly spring breakers. They were just two drunks that passed out on the beach and the kids were running wild.
Okay. Now, what you're going to hear is this is the story of, I'm trying to find the guy's name, Timothy Stevens, and then his wife or his girlfriend or his baby mama. I don't know if they're married, to be quite honest with you. They are both passed out on the beach. What you hear at the beginning of this tape that Bill's going to play is the cop trying to wake him up on the beach. He said it took eight tries of him hitting him with his boot, like, get up, buddy, oh, get up, buddy, before he even acknowledged that somebody was trying to wake him up.
Mom is Alyssa Langley. Dad, like you said, is Timothy Stevens. And at the end, you're going to hear Sheriff Mike Chitwood out of Daytona talking about this thing. Terrible.
Hey! The sheriff's office! Wake up!
Who's going to bond us out?
It just boggles my mind that you would drive here and get obliterated and, you know, allow a 5 and a 7-year-old to wander off.
5 and 7.
And they found that those 5 and 7, that 5 and 7-year-old, in the pool at a nearby hotel unsupervised. Fortunately, you know, nothing happened to these children. They found these people passed out on the beach surrounded by open cans of alcohol. Once they finally got that Timothy guy up, the cop said he walked 7 feet and face planted and passed out again.
Oh, good. Yeah.
That's how drunk this guy was.
Dad of the year.
Oh, I got a feeling that they got issues. They released the children, by the way, to the grandfather. I don't know whose father he is, Timothy's or the girls, but he's somebody's dad. So the kids are now with grandpa.
I hope Pop rips into these two.
I got a feeling these two, well, they let him out of jail. They let him bond out. I'm sure they got to come back. But I got a feeling part of this is going to be like a rehab stint somewhere. You don't get that drunk unless you get an issue.
You know, it's especially infuriating once you are a parent. You've gone through that kid stage. It's like the things, it's a sacrifice. You don't have as much fun. You can't get blotto on the beach because you're supposed to watch your kids.
Yeah. You can't go out on Friday night with your friends anymore drinking because you got to stay home with the kids.
Man.
and go to Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, God. Remember that?
Oh, God.
Remember getting caught in the birthday circuit?
Oh, jeez, like, yes.
Yeah, we got another party at Chuck E. Cheese on Sunday at 1. Sunday at 1?
Wait.
It's NFL Sunday.
I'm not going.
I would get so mad at other parents that would schedule birthday parties during games.
Yeah, well, you know,
like,
what?
What is wrong with you?
Now as a grandparent, I got to go to one that was like 8 o'clock in the morning. I was like, why is this party at 8 o'clock in the morning? Because the Dolphins were playing at noon.
Yeah, but
the father didn't want to miss the game.
Well, see, but you know what? I respect and I love that.
I was like, okay, we'll go to a party at 8 in the morning.
Didn't happen from 1 to 4.
It was great.
Oh, man. All right. We got some more headlines coming up next. We've got more from that Haiti rescue story, what DeSantis is saying about that. And the governor also had a thing about he had a proclamation about homeless people in the state.
Yeah, it's a good deal, actually.
I got an update on Planet Fitness.
I think did they let the lady back in?
I don't know, but they are pulling a Bud Light on this company.
Really?
We'll give you the background of the story here in a moment. Coming up next, the South Florida Morning Show. Keep it here.
We've just got to get it out of our system in our country that somehow anyone has a right to just camp out on the sidewalk and inconvenience other people. That's not what those sidewalks are meant for. We want to make sure that we put public safety above all else, and I think this bill does that.
So the governor was busy yesterday. Yeah. He's got the Haitian situation to deal with, but also a homeless situation. I don't think we have it as bad in Florida as other states do, but it's noticeable, and it's a big difference.
Now, this new law that he signed into law yesterday, the bill that he signed into law takes effect on October 1st, and it requires local governments so that would be like, you know, the county, the cities, whatever the case may be, to provide shelters and or campsite options for the homeless. But it has to have security, sanitation. They need behavioral health services available. So it's not like you're just going to say, okay, here, we're going to set up at Gaines Park. We're going to put in a homeless camp and, okay, set up your tent and have at it.
Which has happened. Right.
So now they've shifted the responsibility to the local governments to take care of it. And I guess it's Miami Beach's mayor, or Miami's mayor is really excited about it.
Miami Beach Mayor Stephen Miner. Yeah, and why wouldn't he? Because it's helping out his community. So yeah. I'd support it too.
It helps people. It's increasing funding for shelters. It's increasing funding for mental health treatment. It's increasing funding for substance abuse treatment. This will absolutely help people. And sometimes it's a little bit of tough love, but it's necessary, tough love.
Well, it's necessary for the citizens, but obviously, as you heard the Miami Beach mayor say in there is a mental health aspect to it. There's a help, you know, element to this proclamation. So I think he's doing it the right way.
Well, and you know, let's look at the other side for Miami Beach with the tourism. They got to worry about people who are afraid of homeless people.
Yeah. Sure.
I mean, let's be honest, and don't say if you're driving your car right now that you're not, because a lot of if you pull up to a red light and, you know, a homeless person comes up and knocks on your window and wants money.
Right.
You don't tell me you roll down the window and give them everything you got. You kind of look straight ahead, and I see it all the time. So, I mean, there's that factor of, you know, you got to worry about the citizens, tourists, whatever the case may be.
And usually it's like, you know, and you just go about your way and you don't want to give to them. It's your choice and you ignore them and then, you know, everybody's fine. Late last year, right around our streets, right around here, he was near the parking lot, but he was also 95 45th Street Exchange.
Right.
He was a really overly aggressive homeless guy. There was obviously something wrong with him, but he would get really mad if you ignored him.
Oh, that was the one he beat on my windshield.
Yeah, he was kicking cars and throwing stuff. And yeah,
I called the cops. I was like, this guy was nuts.
Took a couple of weeks, but they removed him.
Remember?
But that's exactly someone that could benefit from, everybody could benefit from a program like this.
Right.
Get him help.
He needed help. We had, but then there's also the grifter. You know, we had a pregnant woman who was pregnant for what, like 2.5 years?
2 years.
And it was the same. Her belly never got bigger or smaller. She was
pregnant. It was a longer gestation period than a rhino.
She was pregnant constantly. It was like, okay. It could change. But anyway, it's nice to see that happened.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, you got to give an update on your baseball game here. Because
wait a minute. Jen's calling for updates now. Hold on a
things
second.
Things changed dramatically.
Listen. Oh, my God. So, game two.
Very distracting having this on in the studio, by the way.
Yesterday, we were just going by the sports app. Now, we're watching this in between words. It's game two of the Major League Baseball season. San Diego Padres 11-8 over the Dodgers in Seoul, South Korea. And this is while spring training's still happening. I don't understand.
I don't know who the guy was that just got the last run for San Diego.
Yes.
But he was on the base doing this and dancing and like, you know, I got money in my hands kind of thing. I don't know who he is.
What if we have an international incident in Seoul?
He was showboating. I was like, they showboating baseball now.
You know what we need to promote the game overseas?
What?
A bench clearing brawl.
There you go.
Yes.
I got news for you. I don't think it's going to be the bench that clears. It's going to be the people in the audience. Have you seen these fans? They're booing and they're throwing dumb thumbs down. They're like yelling at people.
They seem to be very passionate in Korea. Do you remember during COVID, when actually baseball was canceled for a while, we were following the South Korean Baseball League?
I had the Doosan Dunk. What were their name?
Doosan? Bears, I thought.
Whatever. Yeah, whatever them. Because I got a shirt and they won.
You won the season.
But that was because you guys found it. Was it you or Diener? Who found the South Korean League?
Oh, I don't know.
It was Diener, wasn't it?
It popped up.
And next thing you know, had to pick a team.
That's right. And you picked the winner.
And I just picked it because I liked their name. I was like, okay.
Your team beat my... I was trying to remember who my team was because Jen and I ended up in the South Korean World Series.
Yeah, but then we found out it was like a 9-game series or something. It was insane. Like, what is happening?
You won. Remember the trophy was a giant sword?
Yeah, that's right. It was like a samurai sword.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, that was a time. We were watching South Korean baseball and marble races.
Oh, yeah.
Ken Griffey Jr.
Oh, he's there. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
So it's 11-8. It is the bottom of the sixth.
Taking pictures. He's the team photographer.
Ken Griffey Jr. became like a professional photographer.
Who?
Him and Randy Johnson. Remember Randy Johnson, the big
unit? That's right. Oh, yeah.
World Series winning pitcher for Arizona Diamondbacks.
That's right.
I think he's a Hall of Famer. If not already, he should be. But he's like a photographer on NFL sidelines.
This guy's a Hall of Fame.
Ray Griffey Jr. What's his name?
Ken Griffey Jr. Ken does Griffey. Photography. But Randy Johnson, he's taking pictures on NFL sidelines.
Two Hall of Famers, and they just that's what they do now in retirement.
Amazing.
You know what? Good for they have access.
Absolutely.
You know, it helps to start when you have access to say, well, hey, I know how to take a picture now.
Right.
So
that's true.
Can I go on the sidelines?
By the way, in that game,
yes,
Dodgers-Padres, let's not forget that the Padres were up like 6-0 early on.
Oh, it was a blowout.
Yeah, they're coming back.
And now it's 11-8, and Dodgers only down 3.
Major
development. What inning are they in?
The going into the bottom of the sixth, I think.
Oh, they could win.
Still time.
Well, they pay all that money to that guy. He better win.
In the games that actually count. And then back here in West Palm, you get the ballpark at the Palm Beaches, and we'll have a spring training game.
Yeah.
Now, I don't understand MLB at all.
It's called, what is that place called now? Cacti Park?
I don't know.
What is that?
I don't say it.
What is it?
It's like the amphitheater to me will always be Coral Sky.
Yeah.
I'm tired of the corporate names. I'm done.
Stop. Or the Miami one. That's what I don't even know how to say it anymore.
Well, it'll change again.
Kasaya, whatever it is.
Yeah. In rapid fire coming up next, we have another baseball related story regarding a guy that's in this game right now. Trouble for Dodgers star and multimillionaire Shohei Ohtani.
Uh-oh.
We'll tell you why coming up in rapid fire and other stuff coming up next. The South Florida Morning Show. Keep it here.
Time for Jen and Bill's Rapid Fire on News Talk 850 WFTL.
Let's see what's going on. Stuff you can talk about a little bit later on. Jen's got the first story.
Well, you know what? The other day, Diener talked about the Olympics, and I said, who cares? And he said, well, it involves Coco Gauff. And I went, well, we care now.
That was a famous moment in show history, actually.
You called me out on it, but that's what I don't care, give a crap about the Olympics, but I do care about Coco Gauff. The reason I bring it up is she made another grand appearance, only this time closer to home, her home of Delray Beach.
Yes.
Specifically, the tennis courts at Pompey Park. And you say, well, what the heck's that got to do with her? That's where she played tennis as a kid.
Oh.
She paid.
Nobody cares.
There it is.
See? Did that for you, Diener.
Thank you.
People care because
comes
she
comes back around the room.
People care because Coco Gauff just paid a great deal of money to refurbish all the tennis courts.
That's awesome.
Oh, there you
and
go.
Redo the whole park.
I like her a lot.
She
seems to be pretty awesome.
She grew up playing on the courts in Pompeii. Here's a gotcha for you. What is on her signature tennis shoes? Did you guys know this?
No.
This is how dear to her heart this park is.
Cocoa Puffs?
No.
I like that.
The geographic coordinates to Pompeii Park are on her signature tennis shoes.
So that's where she learned the game then,
huh? That's where she played. Yeah.
Really?
Where she learned. So she's played with the kids. She had a tennis clinic. She did all kinds of neat stuff. So, yeah, she really is pretty cool.
Very cool.
Can you imagine? Because they identify these superstars early.
Yeah.
Can you imagine her as like an early teen, how she would just destroy people on the court?
Man.
She was probably beating adult males at that park when she was probably like, what, 15?
Yeah. You're probably right. And there was probably somebody who belonged to some elite private club.
Oh, yeah.
Who says, well, you know, I'll go take on this little whippersnapper kid. She clocked him. But good.
That's another reason to like her, though. Like a lot of these superstars, and maybe she did later on, I don't know. They'll get recruited. They get like identified like they're Jedi or something. They send them over to that IMG Academy over there.
Right, that's right.
Like or one of the, like you said, the elite tennis academies. She's a park kid.
She's like just like the Venus in Serena Williams.
Right. Yeah.
Very similar. I mean, if King Richard, the movie, which I'm assuming since they were involved with it, was all about their life. That's, I mean, and they talk about a tough neighborhood where they play tennis.
You know what, too? Like, yeah. I always said that about Tiger. I saw an interview with his dad once, Earl, and he said, this is a kid that grew up playing on municipal courses.
Yeah, because in many cases...
He's not a country club kid. He thinks that explained a lot of his mental toughness.
Well, and it's also, in many cases, he couldn't play because he was an African American. They wouldn't let him in the club.
There was that, too.
That's horrible.
Wow. Boy, that's something.
But anyway, so go Coco. And
Coco.
Hopefully she wins the gold medal in tennis.
Love it.
It's the only thing I care about right now at the Olympics. We don't care.
Well, the other thing you care about is this baseball game. Give it a little update. Oh, it's 11-8. Top of the seventh.
Up.
San Diego holding on for dear life over the Dodgers. They were up to 5-0 at one point.
Who's the guy crying on first base or second base or wherever he is?
That's Xander Bogaerts.
Looks like he hurt his fingers sliding into the base.
Yeah,
I thought he was crying because he stole the base and he got there.
Well, that was another horrific decision by the Red Sox to give up on him. Man. But that's a different story.
How many players from the Red Sox are on this team?
A lot.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, a lot.
Okay.
So that's going on. It's the start of the baseball season. This is the second game in Seoul, South Korea. These games count, even though spring training is still happening. Ooh. But speaking of the Dodgers for a second. Oh, boy. No investigation yet. Well, lawyers for Dodgers star Shohei Ohtani.
This is a wild story.
Accusing his interpreter, because he's from Japan, of stealing Ohtani's funds to take part in gambling.
How did he steal the money from him?
I don't know. LA Times broke the story yesterday. Ohtani's interpreter took part in a massive theft, they say, to place bets with alleged illegal bookmaker. Target of a federal investigation now. They told the LA Times the amount taken is in the millions. They fired the interpreter yesterday, obviously.
Well, that's nice. Oh, who hired him? The team?
That's an excellent question. Because the story says the Dodgers fired the interpreter. So it's their employee, not his private. Because I know a lot of these players from foreign countries have their own interpreter. They hire out of their salary. It's theirs. He's their guy.
Yeah. So the Dodgers actually pay for this guy. So are they going to give the money back to Ohtani? Thank you.
I don't know. But he's probably completely off the hook if that's the case.
So here's the thing, though, right?
Yeah.
If you go to the other side of this, because, of course, the conspiracy theories start away. If any of it is true on the theory side of things, this has the potential, I'm not even exaggerating here, has the potential to be the biggest story in baseball history.
Yes.
We're talking level of the White Sox when they fixed the World Series with Shoeless Joe Jackson. We're talking level of Pete Rose gambling. If they find out that what some people are theorizing, that this interpreter was a fall guy for Ohtani.
Oh, that he actually gave him the money to bet for him.
That's the working theory right now. You're right, exactly right, Diener.
Now, will they ever actually come out and prove that? Most likely not, but some people are pointing out on Twitter saying, look at this person, X, Y, and Z, who are not reporting on this. Different baseball reporters connected to the MLB or networks, and they haven't said a word about this. And it just kind of makes you wonder why.
So a guy I follow, Lou Merlone, played for the Red Sox. He actually works for NESN broadcast up there. He says, like a lot of people, I want Ohtani to play baseball for many, many years. I want to watch him. But he says if he's not under investigation, if they don't look into his involvement, it's because they're afraid of what they might find.
Right.
They don't want to
dig a little bit too deep into this.
Right. I don't think they will. He's way the Major League Baseball has way too much riding on. Well, they're in South Korea right now because Ohtani is obviously a draw worldwide, but especially in Asia.
Oh, totally.
So, man,
all I know is when I heard this story pop up yesterday, oh. I thought to myself, somewhere in West Boca Raton, Pete Rose went, huh? Wait, what happened?
So his interpreter goes down.
Wow, that's quite scary.
We'll see.
Yeah. We shall see indeed. So, guys, I was talking about earlier, one of Elon Musk's many companies, Neuralink.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Pretty amazing.
They showed for the first time ever, you know, the first human that has the implant, and they were showing him move everything around the computer. Is he a quadriplegic? He is, yeah.
Jeez. It's incredible.
And he was moving everything around on the computer just by thinking, well, we said that's just the beginning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Turns out Elon is saying the same thing. We've talked about, you know, creating exoskeletons along with the actual chip that would send the command to the exoskeletons to, you know, walk and move and get people out of wheelchairs. But not only that, blind. People born blind. Elon came out yesterday in a conference and said the next step to the Neuralink chip is called blindsight. And that's what they're going to be focusing on next. He said, we got telepathy down. Now we're going to be focusing on blind sight, is what they call it.
It's almost like they would take like a projection of the room, pick a graphic image, but imprint it onto your brain so you know what's going on?
Even further than that. They're talking about taking the actual part of the brain in the cortex that controls vision. He's like, it's still there, is what he was saying in the conference yesterday. He's like, it's still there. We just have to be able to tap into it and actually cure blindness.
That's incredible. A certain type of blindness, though. That's why they have to be born blind.
But still, what a development.
Amazing.
You know, and every time he comes out and he says something like this, it's not just like, oh, he's trying to like...
No.
That's for the investors. He talked about Neuralink like 5 years ago that this is coming, and it does. And it did.
And it did. It's here.
Can you imagine if he went up to like Stevie Wonder and said, you're going to be able to see again? I mean, that's pretty incredible.
I saw an interview with him once, and they posed him that question. He said, I don't want to.
Really?
He said, I wouldn't do it.
It's interesting.
It would change his whole perspective.
We have any time? Because I know we have to get...
Quick. You can do something quick.
Very quickly. The Eagles' long goodbye tour reportedly will end with a 10-week residency. According to reports,
They
are going to perform at the Sphere in Las Vegas from September through December.
Knew it had to be somebody big.
Well, however, the band has not confirmed it yet, nor their tour manager, but that is the big rumor. Yeah, I can see the Eagles there.
Gee, I can't believe they haven't confirmed it yet. Let's go to Don Henley. Don, what do you think?
Yeah, he's a crotchety old guy.
He's the grumpiest person I've ever seen in a room, ever.
They're going to play at that Jimmy Buffett tribute first, though, on April 11th, so it should be pretty cool. That's going to be a huge concert.
Yeah, it is. That's pretty amazing. Unbelievable. All right, well, this is actually a pretty big story we didn't get to quite yet. It's a consumer story. Amazon has something called a spring sale going on right now.
Why would Amazon need to
have a sale? And apparently, it's not just for Prime members.
Oh.
Because Prime's getting kind of expensive these days. So, you know who's going to tell us about this? John Matarese, our Consumer Reports expert.
That's right.
Coming in next, the South Florida Morning Show. Keep it here. Well, Jen, here's another reason why Amazon is going to come to my house 50 times a day.
Why? What's going on?
Did you hear about an Amazon sale, but this time a big spring sale?
How did I miss a spring sale on Amazon? Okay, we have to bring in the expert.
Yes.
Our Consumer Reports expert, John Matarese. Please tell me how I can save more money on Amazon.
Like you don't spend enough there, Jen. Amazon has just launched its first ever big spring sale. They've never done this before. I mean, they usually have their Prime Days, and then they do it in the spring and the fall. But this is different, and it's significant. Because it's the first time they've run a sale where you don't have to be a Prime member, which is very interesting. Normally, you know, with these Amazon Prime Days, you have to be an Amazon Prime member to enjoy the savings. And you guys know what Amazon Prime costs these days?
Yeah, it's up.
They just take it out of my account.
Yeah, it's $139 a year. And a lot of people are saying, you know what? That's not worth it. I don't shop there enough. That's not worth it. You know, I can order from Walmart and I can order from other places. So I think they start to feel that pressure. They're actually running a sale where you don't have to be a Prime member. So it's the first time where you get lots of savings on. It's mostly spring outdoorsy things. You're looking for anything, patio furniture, things from around the house, lots of big savings over this coming weekend. So that's really cool. But you can tell they're feeling the pressure. I mean, you've got Wayfair. They have their Way Day coming up, and that's more pressure on Amazon. And then, of course, they have Shein and Temu, and a lot of people are saying, hey, you know, why buy something on Amazon for $20 when I can get it for $2 on Temu? You know? So I think they're finally starting to see a lot of competition, which is why they are running a big spring sale they've never done before. And they're saying, hey, you don't have to be a Prime member. Everybody, come on and shop. We'll save you some money.
Not too bad. Maybe Bezos is buying another yacht, so he needs more money.
Or a spaceship.
Yeah, I don't think that yacht isn't big enough. I think it's much too small.
Yeah, he needs more space. Well, thanks.
All right, then you got this going on. You've been writing about. We've tried, you know, cash back and point credit cards for years and years, but now they're doing it with apps on the consumer level. Are cash back apps even worth trying out?
Well, with the price of groceries these days, you know, you go into the store, you don't get out for under $100. It might be worth trying some of these apps. And they are popular. A lot of people like them. The two most popular are Ibotta, I-B-O-T-T-A, and Rakuten. It looks like Rakuten, but it's Rakuten. It's a Japanese name, in case you were wondering. And what they do is they offer you cash back between 1% and 10% on your purchases. And I talked to one guy who uses Rakuten, and he says it's great for buying electronics. You know, you buy a TV, you might get, you know, $25 back buying a TV at Walmart or Best Buy and ordering it. So, you know, you can get some good savings. And Ibotta is more for groceries, so you could shop at Publix and get cash back. Now, here's the downside. Come on, guys, ask me the downside.
Right.
What's
the downside? The downside is before you walk into Publix, you need to go to Ibotta's app and go in and tap the things that you want to buy. So you want to buy milk, you want to buy Cheerios, you want to buy lunch meat, tap, 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 tap. And then you go and you buy them, and it syncs up with Publix's register, and it gives you the money back into an account. So to me, the downside is it's more work. You know, when I go into the store, you know I'm going in for milk and bread. I don't want to have to open up an app and tap, find the milk, find the bread, and tap. Some people don't mind it at all, but that's the one downside.
Well, you're going to get people who are like couponers that would spend you know, weeks putting coupons together to save and actually get money back after they went shopping. They'll do that in a heartbeat.
Exactly. Yeah, they absolutely will. For me, it's like, it's a little bit of effort. But I remember the days of paper coupons 10 years ago before everything went digital. And I remember standing in line behind, you know, some shoppers who had all these coupons, and they bring up their groceries, and it's like, well, that was free. You know?
Hey, anywhere we can save in this economy, we'll save where we can, John. Appreciate it so much.
Yeah.
Good info there. Don't Waste Your Money, Consumer Report, and our news partner, WPTV News Channel 5. But also, where do we find John Matarese for more of this kind of stuff online?
Yeah, John Matarese Money on Facebook and Instagram, and John Matarese on Twitter or X for a daily consumer alert.
All right, we're going to talk to you in a couple of weeks because you got vacation next week. So congratulations and have a great time, and then we'll talk to you before long. He's always got good tips, Jen.
He always does. Well, I had no idea this Amazon sale was going on.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's already cost me. I bought new Easter bunnies. So thank you, John.
I've waited till the very last morsel of the show to bring this up.
Yeah, go ahead. He can gloat. Okay, Diener. Now, Bill will preface this by saying it's the greatest story of the year.
Well, that sounds good.
Okay.
For me.
For him.
I feel so vindicated.
You have 1 minute for it.
Go for it.
It's going to be good.
Any massive nationwide survey of 3,000 Americans.
It's pretty good size.
Mm-hmm.
They asked them what's the absolute worst thing to wear on a first date.
Uh-oh.
By an overwhelming response, the answer.
Oh, wait, I know what this is going to be.
Was Crocs. I told you.
You have been rallying against these things for years.
All right, they mentioned like 10 other things. But that's Crocs, right. Worst thing.
It came in third on the list, but that's
worst
okay.
Possible thing. Yeah, you're right. Actually, number one was a tracksuit.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Does anybody wear a tracksuit anymore?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And they always had
tracksuit mafia.
Yeah. Oh, watch out for those guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
And full designer outfit, head to toe, not good either. I guess that would be on the women's side. But Crocs, the most important, impactful thing you should not ever wear.
Don't do it.
In any segment of society.
How does it look at if you wear a hat on the first date?
Hat.
Is that kind of like, you know, if a guy comes out in a hat on the first date? Why? Or does it just depend on the age or the setting?
That means you're bald.
You're planning on dating again?
Well, I guess there's my answer.
Check for tips.
They said, by the way, a man purse was another one that was a turnoff. So leave your man purse at home, guys.
A merce.
Anyway, we're gone. You have a great day. And we'll have March Madness tomorrow.
Yeah.
We'll get that to talk about and see how many brackets are still alive. We start at 6. We'd love to see you tomorrow. Have a great day. Thanks for listening.